The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You know, it's a blessing getting older, and I thank the Lord for it. Now, there's some things about getting older is not a blessing. We're at a birthday party, and by the way, Brother Putman's birthday is Thursday, I believe, right? And can I tell how old you are? He's turning 70, and so, but Brother Putman, he got a birthday card, and one of the sayings on the birthday card was, you know you're getting old when your back goes out more than you do, and and you know, the thing about getting older, it's a blessing, and you know, you deal with other things, but I enjoy getting older because of, you know, I thank the Lord I have a granddaughter, and my granddaughter makes me feel younger, or at least I wish I was younger getting around her. She gets me running. But we went to the mall, and we're at the mall, and my wife and my daughter-in-law were shopping, and I told them, I said, I'll take care of Natalie, because anytime they have Natalie with them, they can't shop, you know, because Natalie's always in everything. So they loved that, and they took it literal, and they disappeared on me. And so David and I took Natalie for about 2 hours walking through the mall. And anyway, and we're up there at the Grapevine Mall, Mills, whatever. And so we went there, and I was walking with her, and she picked up a purse that she liked, and so I bought her a purse, and she picked up some lip gloss, and I bought her lip gloss, and then she wanted to go on a horsey ride on the carriage wheel, so I paid for her to go on that, and I rode with her on it, and she kept wanting to jump off, and then I took, and we together went and got all these samples together, and I took her all the stores she wanted to go. And when it was all said and done, we met up at the end, and David and I and Natalie, and then my wife was there, and Felicia, and they asked me, how was she? And I said, I don't know why you all have so much problems with her. She was good for me. And David's like, yeah, Dad, because you gave her everything she wanted, you know? So anyway, but it was a blessing to just to be with her. But anyway, well, it's good to be here this morning, and again, I just want to be a help to you this morning, and I believe that God's Word is always a help if you allow God's Word to be a help, and you got to open your hearts to the Word of God. You know, God's Word has the answer for everything, and we live in a world today where we see our politicians, and one day we think they're sane, next day we think they're insane, and there's a lot of things going on with our politics, and a lot of things going on with our world, a lot of things going on in our societies, in our neighborhoods. But one thing we can count on that's always going to be right is God's Word always can be right. God is always right, and God is always true. If you look at Joshua chapter 24 again, we're going to look at that one verse, in verse number 15. Verse number 15, we find the verse here, just that first part of that verse. Here we find it says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. If it seem, you know, to me, that's not a question. Why would it be evil to serve the Lord? To me, it would be a blessing to serve the Lord. I love serving the Lord. Do I always serve the Lord like I should? No. And by the way, you don't either. But I do love serving the Lord. I'd rather serve the Lord than serve the devil. And here it says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. So here Joshua was saying that you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a decision on what you're going to do. Joshua was a great general under Moses. One of the first times we find the story or the name of Joshua is when Moses had Joshua to go take the children of Israel into battle. And he was a great general. He was one that listened to Moses. He was one that followed his leader, Moses. He was one that respected that position that God had for Moses. Joshua has seen God's deliverance from Egypt to the miracles of the crossing of the Red Sea and over again of God's mighty hand. Joshua was there and he saw God's goodness all the time that he was there with Moses. He watched God do big things. He watched God do great things. He saw God's hand upon Moses. He saw God's hand upon their journey. And he took note and he understood that God is good. Amen. God is for them. God loves them. It was Joshua who saw God give victory into his hand over the Amalekites, God's enemy. It was Joshua that went into Canaan to spy out the land with the other 11 spies. It was Joshua and Caleb who came back out of the promised land with a good report. Moses said, I want you to go into Canaan and spy it out. And let me know how we can go in there and conquer Canaan. We need to go in there and take over this land. God promised it to us. So Joshua said, hey, I'll go. Caleb said, I'll go. And they went in there, and there was 10 spies plus Joshua and Caleb. They went in there to spy out the land. Joshua and Caleb came back carrying the grapes and coming back with great news. Let me tell you some great news. Yes, there's giants in the land, but I tell you, we can conquer them. You know why Joshua said that? Because he saw God conquer the enemy before. He saw God part a Red Sea. He saw God do great things. So he came back and said, yes, we can conquer this land. He was confident in God. He trusted God. He believed in God. He knew one thing. One thing was set on his heart. He's going to choose to do what God says. God said to conquer the land. Hey, I'm just going to obey God and conquer the land. He had that confidence. He knew that God would help him. And he came back and said that. He said, we can conquer it. Joshua led God's people into the promised land. Now, we know the story that the 10 spies said, we can't conquer. Even though, yes, Joshua and Caleb are right. It's a beautiful land. Flowing with milk and honey. I mean, look at the stuff we brought back. It's a beautiful land, but we can't do it. And all of a sudden, the people started to fret and worry. And all of a sudden, they started to back off. And they didn't want to go. And God said, okay, since you didn't believe me, he said, the only ones who are ever going to go in the promised land is Joshua and Caleb. None of you are going to go. You will die off, and your children will be the ones that go in. But you will not go because of unbelief. Joshua is the one that leads God's people in the promised land after the death of Moses. Now we come to Joshua's time that he's going to pass away. Joshua is at an older age where he knew that his life was coming to an end. He knew that there wasn't much time for him. And so Joshua comes and he gathers all the people together. And Joshua reminds God's people of all that God has done for them. You know, many times as a Christian, we get discouraged or we fret over things because we forget what God did. See, God has done so many things for you, but many times we don't remember that because all we know or remember is what we're going through right now. We're going through a trial right now. That's all we're focusing. We're going through some hard times right now. That's what we're focusing. We're going through some tough times financially. That's what we're focusing. We're going through sometimes tough times in our marriage. That's what we're focusing. We're going through tough times in our health. That's what we're focusing. But here Joshua says, let me remind you, not what you're going through right now, but what God has gotten you through over the years. See, we have a great God. We have a God that doesn't sleep or slumber. We have a great God that knows all our needs and wants to provide for us. He's a great God. And here Joshua said, let me remind you of God's goodness. And he goes through and he reminds them how God had kept the promise to Abraham and how that God took him out of Egypt and with a mighty hand and how God parted the Red Sea and how he destroyed his enemy and how he fed them in the wilderness and how he did all these things for them. Joshua reminds God's people of all that God has done for them. Then he makes a statement in verse 15. This is right before Joshua dies. He says, I'm dying. I know I don't have long to live, but I need to make a statement. I need to remind you first off of God's goodness. Can I remind you today of God's goodness? God's been good to every single person here. You know, in our Sunday school lesson, we were learning this morning and how that Jacob, he was thankful for the mercies of God that God had on him to be able to restore him back into his brother after what had happened. And so here we find that as we think about our life, even to think of God's mercies is enough to say that God is good. Because I deserve to be dead today. You deserve to be dead today. None of us deserve to be in a good church today. None of us deserve to be saved today. So it's the goodness and the mercies of God that I can rejoice and say that God is good. God is good. Here Joshua says, I need to make a statement. After reminding you of all the goodness that God has done for you, let me remind you. And let me help you understand something. See, Joshua was not talking to them because he needed to be convinced. He didn't have to be convinced where he stood. He knew exactly where he stood. He was trying to help them to to remember where to stand. Here we find in verse 15, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, I've already done it. Because if you notice there, he says, but as for me, I've got this thing settled. I know already, without a doubt, I got it settled. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, my wife and I have been married 25 years. And I haven't been the best of husband. I haven't been the best of father. I haven't been the best of whatever, you know, tried. But can I say one thing I maybe did right over all the other things? One thing I did do right is I kept my family in church. And I could truly say this, as for me and my house, we will go to church. We will serve the Lord. And I thank God that not only did I stay in church, but I've stayed in good churches that God has brought me to. But here he reminds them, he says, hey, you're going to have to make a decision. You know, everybody here is going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to choose over here, folks. You're going to have to choose. Everyone here is going to have to make a decision. He tells them here, choose you this day whom you will serve. But then he reminds them, because he leads by example. He says, but let me tell you, as for me, if you're wondering where I stand, if you want to know where I stand in all this, let me tell you where I stand. As for me and my house, Brother Jones, we will serve the Lord. So you don't have to question that. You don't even have to wonder where we stand. We will serve the Lord. Joshua was confident what he believed in. Joshua makes the statement, choose you this day. See, the title today is, today you must choose. You cannot live your life like an ostrich with your head in the sand and say, I will not make any decisions. Amen. You're going to make a decision. You know, I worked for UPS many years ago and many pounds ago. I was a beanpole. You know, Matt Baldivis, he's fat compared to what I was at that age. I was a skinny boy, you know. But the thing is, when I was working UPS, when I was in Bible college, those packages, when you put them on the conveyor belt, people have to sort them, right? They're sorting those packages, FedEx, UPS. As they come through, you only have so much time. You can't not just say, well, I just don't want to make a decision with that package. You're going to have to make a decision. Because either you're going to make the decision or it's going to make a decision on its own. Something's going to happen with that package. You know, and the thing is, as we see here, life is about choices. We all know the name President Ronald Reagan. The former President Ronald Reagan once had an aunt who took him to the cobbler for a pair of new shoes. She was taking him to get some new shoes for him as a little boy. The cobbler asked young Reagan, do you want square toes or round toes? Unable to decide, Reagan didn't answer. So the cobbler gave him a few days. Several days later, the cobbler saw Reagan on the street and asked him again what kind of toes he wanted on his shoes. Reagan still couldn't decide. So the shoemaker replied, well, come back in a couple of days and your shoes will be ready. When the future president did so, he found one square-toed and one round-toed. The cobbler, this will teach you to never let people make decisions for you, the cobbler said to the indecisive customer. I learned right then and there, Reagan said later, if you don't make your own decisions, someone else will make them. Every day is about making choices. Some choices you'll make are major, but most you'll make are minor. But even the minor choices are important. Your little choices, what you eat, where you drive, what you wear, all those things that you do, those are important choices. And as we go through this message, I want you to understand that every choice you make in your life is important. I'll give you, for instance, we were driving. I went sewing yesterday, the Hemingers. We were in the car together. We went to make a visit. We pulled in beside the road. We made a visit. We were coming back to the car. I was focused on the next visit. And Brother Heminger said, hey, there's people outside. Can we go talk to them real quick? So he made a choice to go talk to these people. So he went down this way. My wife and I went up this way. We talked to Jesse and Crystal Ortiz. He went down and talked to another couple. And Jesse and Crystal were coming out of their house, asked them if they're going to heaven. They said they didn't know, but they've been wanting to know. And we got to give them the gospel. They got saved. And then he said this. He says, I'm thankful for people like, you know, next time you go soul winning, somebody says, I wish you would knock on my door. Remember this. He said, I am thankful for people like you that knock on our doors to tell us about the gospel because I didn't know how to get to heaven. And they both bowed their head and bowed their heart and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So the decision, the choice of choosing to say, I'm not going to do what naturally I should do is get in the car and drive on. It's I'm going to choose to do something different and go talk to these people. By making that choice, the Lord did change their destiny. And that man and his wife and the other lady, all three of them got saved yesterday morning. So we have to understand that every day is about making choices, making decisions. History has taught us the consequences of bad choices. I went and I did a study on historical bad choices, and there's a ton of them. And there's a lot that we can look back to and say, wow, that was some bad choices. But I picked out one that I think most of us know, at least know of, and that is the Titanic. The Titanic comes to mind as how bad choices can produce disasters. More than a century ago, the Titanic set sail on her maiden voyage across the North Atlantic. The ship that God could not sink, they wrote in the papers. Those that were there would say that this ship, God couldn't even sink it. By the way, they probably shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have said that. You know, that was not a good thing to say. The ship that God could not sink. But just 5 days into the trip from England to New York City, the luxury liner collided with an iceberg and she sank, killing more than 1,500 passengers and crew. Multiple bad choices were made that collectively sent the Titanic to its tragic end in April of 1912. First, there were no safety regulations in place for the ship. What was that? A choice as large as a Titanic. It didn't carry adequate safety equipment. Again, another choice. For example, there were only 16 lifeboats, enough for only about one-third to one-half of the passengers on board. A choice. And the crew members weren't prepared with binoculars or proper lighting. Another choice. Additionally, the Titanic was untested, and it was never test-driven. Another choice. It was unproven. The crew was not fully up to speed on the liner, its equipment, such as the state-of-art of the wireless messaging system, and its emergency procedures. Again, a choice of not training them. Despite how unprepared the Titanic was, it may have been a simple human error that ultimately caused the iceberg disaster. In 2010, it was revealed that the helmsman may have made a steering error when diverting the ship around the iceberg, and in turn wasn't corrected in time to avoid the disaster. The iceberg was spotted just before midnight, and by 2:20 a.m., the Titanic had split and sunk. Many bad choices were made, and because of it, many perished. You say, Brother Butler, is my bad choices, if I make a bad choice, a bad decision, could it be that bad? It can be. Your bad choices, your bad decisions can affect your life. It can affect your children getting saved. It can affect a lot of things. Whether we like it or not, today we must choose. Today you have to choose, folks. Today I have to choose. We have to make decisions. What are the decisions we have to make? We must choose today to walk or to not walk with God. It's a choice. You have to choose today whether you walk with God or you don't walk with God. We must choose to be faithful or not be faithful to church. It's a choice. There are some today that are not here. You know what they did? They made a choice. They chose not to be in church. You know what you did? You chose to be in church. And you know what? What if God came back right now? Wouldn't you be glad to be caught in church? Of all days, like, Lord, I was in church. That was a good choice. You're making choices. We must choose to lead or not lead our family in the right direction. It's a choice. We must choose to obey or disobey God and being honest in our giving. The offering plate comes by and you haven't tithed, and you have God's money in your pocket, you make a choice. I choose to be right with God and be honest with God, or choose to be dishonest with God and let it go by. That's a choice you make. We have choices to make. We can choose to obey or disobey God and being honest in our giving. We can choose to forgive or not forgive someone who hurt us. We can choose to smile or frown. You know, smiling, they say, and I don't know, I've never really studied it, they say it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. And, you know, we ought to learn to smile. And you ought to practice. Get in front of the mirror and look in the mirror and smile. And it can make a difference. They say that, and I've heard this, that if you'll learn to be happy, even though you might say, well, my circumstances don't require me to be happy, it doesn't matter. Because everybody has circumstances. But if you choose to be happy today and choose to smile and choose to be joyful, that happiness, they say, is like medicine. Doesn't the Bible say that a cheerful countenance or a joyful countenance is like medicine, or however that goes? But we know this, that happy people, joyful people, are better, healthy people. They live a healthier life. We can choose to smile or frown. We must choose today to speak or stay silent. We must choose today to obey or disobey our parents. Teenagers, young person, you have a choice. You can choose to obey or disobey. We must choose to stay married or get divorced. We have to choose. It's a choice. Well, I had no choice. I had to do it. No, you had a choice. You made the choice. We must choose to gossip or not gossip. We must choose to stand up or not to stand up for God. We must choose to speak with kind words or speak with hurtful words. We must choose to read or not read our Bible. It's a choice that you make today. We must choose to believe in the truth or believe in a lie. You have to make that decision. It's a choice. We must choose to pray or not to pray today. We must choose to obey God in witnessing to the lost, or let them die and go to eternal lake of fire. It's a choice. We must choose today to either make the right choice or make the wrong choice. Well, Brother Butler, I don't want to make the wrong choice. I don't want to do that. How do I make the right choice? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you some things. How can you make the choices that are right choices? Whatever choices you make will determine your outcome. We know this: Abraham and Lot, their herdsmen, did not get along. And Abraham said, Lot, you choose. We got to separate here. You're going to choose either the right and I'll choose the left, or you choose the left, Lot, and I'll choose the right. You know, I wondered, why did Abraham say that? Because what if Lot would have chose the left or whatever, and what if Lot, all he had was Sodom and Gomorrah? But you know, I thought about this. Abraham, God promised him all that land. So he knew no matter where I went, I was going to be blessed because God gave me all the land. So he wasn't worried about that. Here he says, you have a choice. We find in Genesis 13, verse 11, then Lot chose. He chose. You're going to choose. You're going to make a decision. He chose him all the plains of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot made a choice. He chose to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that Lot made a bad choice. And because of his bad decision, his life was turned into a disaster. Yeah. See, choices you make, the decisions you make, can end in disaster if you make the wrong choices. That's important. Like, hey, folks, listen here. If right now, if you're thinking about taking a nap, this is not the time to take a nap. Right now, I need you to listen to what I have to say. I'm almost done. The choices that you make today can become disastrous if they're the wrong choices. Now, how can we be assured to make the right choices? Here we go. Number one, we must stop and consider our choices and how they can impact us. We must stop and consider our choices and how they can impact us. You know, your choice that you make today can impact your future. A young person that wants to get married and they marry somebody they shouldn't, it impacts their future. Someone that chooses to take a job and to go somewhere where there's no church, they can impact their future. They can, there could be horrible consequences that come from that decision. Because Lot chose the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he lost his family and he lost his testimony. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the way of death. You know, when a young person chooses to disobey, I really believe this. In their own mind, in their own heart, they really think they're doing the right thing. They really, it's not, I don't believe, now there might be some like that, but I believe some teenagers that rebel, in their heart, they really think they're right. They think mom and dad are unfair and it's not fair what they're doing, so I think I should do this because this is right. So in their own mind, they think they're right. But they're not. Amen. See, the decisions we make sometimes, we might think they're the right decisions. We might think they're the right choices. But God's not going to bless you with because you had good intentions. God will bless because you followed his word. You followed what he said. I see, secondly, to make the right choices, at times we must slow down at making these choices. At times we must slow down at making these choices. Sometimes we're so quick. You know, we hear the stories of people going to look for a car, never plan to buy it, and they come back with a car. People that are just looking. I'm just going to go window shopping. They come back with bags of things. And the husband's like, I thought you were window shopping. Well, I was, but you know, I saved you money. There was all kinds of sales going on. At times, we must slow down at making decisions. Why? You know, preacher says this. Preacher says, you want to shut me down real quick? Come to me and say, you got to help me right now. You got to help me make the decision right now. He says, I'm sorry, I don't work that way. The way we ought to do it is whenever you're wanting to make a decision, especially major decisions, slow down and think them out. Sometimes we make decisions and we don't care. Well, I don't care. I'm just going to make it either way. I don't care. But it's gonna affect you, and it might cause disaster. James 1:19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, we need to be slow. We need to be slow in making decisions. And I'm not talking about somebody says, hey, could you pick up that piece of paper? Well, I want to be slow in making that decision. No, there's some things you make quick decisions on, right? I need to make, you know, police says pull over and the lights are going on. That's not time to make a slow decision, all right? Make a quick decision, pull over before you get thrown in jail. But some things, well, you know, I'm thinking about taking a job. I'm thinking about marrying this person. I'm thinking about buying this car. I'm thinking about buying this. I'm thinking about doing all these things. Big decisions. You know what? You better slow down and really think them through. We need to be slow at that. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Hasty in his words. I got to do this quick. I'm going to say this quick. I'm going to do this quick. I'm going to make this quick decision. We need to slow down when making decisions. Number three, never make major decisions. Never make major decisions when you're going through emotional crisis. Never make major decisions when you are going through emotional crisis. And I know for some of us, we'd say, well, that's every day. But you know, we all go through that. I've been through it. You've been through it. We have emotional crisis in our life where everything's just emotional. It's turmoil. It's stormy. It's cloudy. It's the storm is here. And I got to make a decision. That's not, you know, Dr. Hiles used to say this. Dr. Hiles said this, never make a decision when your decision maker is broken. Right. It's real easy for us to make a decision when our decision maker is broken because it's all emotion. I'm going to make this emotional decision. Yeah. Whether right or wrong, I got to make it because I'm emotional. That's not the time to make it. Never make a major decision when you're going through emotional crisis. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 8, it says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Here the children of Israel are complaining, they're whining, they're complaining, we want water, we're thirsty, we're going to die out here. And Moses was angry at them for being such whiners and complainers. And here the Lord said, take the rod and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak. He said, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth this his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation their beast drink. The Lord already said, Moses, just do this. Speak to it. I've already agreed on this. I'm going to give them water, okay? They, even though you don't think they deserve it, you want them all to die, they need water, I'm going to give them water. But speak unto the rock. Look at verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. Everything's good so far, but his emotions are a wreck. He's emotional. He's upset. He's angry. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. He's upset. God already is taking care of this, Moses. Let God take care of it. Hear ye now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of the rock? I mean, we got to stop what we're doing to get you water because you're just a bunch of whiners, complainers. What was he? He was an emotional wreck. He was an emotional crisis. Are you in an emotional crisis? Are you out of control emotionally? That's a bad time to make a major decision. He says, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice, banged it twice, and the water came out abundantly. God still gave him the water, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. They didn't know that God told them to speak. They just went ahead and listened to Moses rant and rave and watched him bang on that rock, trying to break the rock, kill the rock. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You know what happened? Because Moses was emotional. He was in an emotional crisis. Oh, it's an emotional crisis. He made a decision that affected his future. Never make major decisions while going through emotional crises. Number four, always seek wise counsel when making big decisions. Some of you are getting ready to make some big decisions. I'm going to tell you right now, you might be making a bad decision. You better get a hold of God. You better get a hold of the man of God, the pastor. You better get some wise counsel. Always seek wise counsel when making big decisions. You know, the president has a cabinet of advisors that whenever it's time to go to war, that he gathers them together. And he says, hey, give me your opinion. What do you think we ought to do? How do you think we ought to go into war? How should we ought to go into battle? He is smart enough to gather these advisors around him before he makes a major decision. You know, a president can't be there with his feet on his desk, eating Cheetos, scratching his belly, and pushing nuclear bomb buttons, all right? And not even thinking about anything, all right? He has to have people around them, you know, or he walks in there and says, I'm just so mad, you know. What, they call me a name over there in that country? They're gone now. Who's next? Don't you talk to me that way. That's not how it works. How it works is he gets cabinet of advisors around them. What should I do? Should I make war? Should I make peace? Right? You know, always seek wise counsel when making big decisions. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fail. Or the people, yeah, people fail. You know, the thing is, or fall, you will fall all the time when you try to make a major decision without counsel. When you think you can do it, I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need anybody's advice. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Where's it gotten you? How good is this thing's going? I'm telling you, whenever you're making a major decision, I'm talking about whatever it is, but you know what a major decision, you better get somebody around you. I'm talking about, the Bible says where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Get around the man of God. Get around your pastor. Get around godly men and ask them, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Maybe you ladies are thinking about doing something that is a major decision. You better get a hold of your husband. You better get a hold of your preacher. You better get a hold of the man of God and say, what do you think? I want to do this. But what do you think I ought to do? What's the right decision? When making a decision, always ask the question, number five, when making a major decision, always ask the question, how would my decision please the Lord? Number four, always seek wise counsel when making a decision. Number five, when making a major decision, or even just a non-major decision, always ask the question, how would my decision please the Lord? Would it please God for me to make, well, I'm just going to make this decision. I don't care what anybody thinks. That means you don't care what God thinks either. When making a decision, The question ought to be is, what does God think about? Is God pleased with my decision? Would he be pleased? The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, we ought to desire not to sin against God. So the decision I'm going to make, Lord, is it a wise decision? This old flesh right here, you know what Paul said? He had to crucify himself daily. If you let this old flesh make your decision, it's going to always come up with bad decisions. And every time you're going to have bad results. But if you want good results, you better crucify the flesh. What did Jesus do? You see, when he was on the cross, those people that spit on him, those people that threw rocks at him, those people that mocked him, Jesus didn't say, well, I can't wait, man. I'll tell you what, when I get off this cross, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to get you. I'm coming back for you, man. What's your name? Give me your address. Write it down on that rock. Then I'm coming after you. Jesus didn't do that. You know why? Because Jesus knew that these people, in their own heart and their own mind, I was the blasphemer. I was saying that I was that I was Christ. And to them, I was blaspheming because they didn't believe it. They thought Messiah was coming to be the king and set up a kingdom like David. And so to them, I was the liar. And so in their own mind, in their own heart, they really believed they're right. So what did Jesus do? On the cross, as he laid on the cross there, he said, Lord, he says, God, forgive them. Why? Because they know not what they do. They really think they're right, but Lord, forgive them. You know, we need to understand in making our decisions and understanding that that decision we make, is it pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to God? The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, he says, you choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this morning, the question for us is this. What kind of choice will you make today? Well, I just choose not to make a decision. I'm just going to be neutral. I'm just neutral. No decision here. No, you just made a decision. You know, it's like voting. Well, I'm going to be neutral. I'm not going to vote. You just casted a vote for somebody by not voting. When you choose not to make a decision, a choice, you just made a choice. So if you're going to make a choice either way, why not get a hold of God and get a hold of man of God and get in prayer and say, God, if I'm going to make a choice, I better make the right choice. Parents, moms and dads, you're going to have to make choices how you raise your kids. You can decide to be neutral, but you just made a choice. You made a choice to let them do whatever they want. So if you're going to make a choice no matter what, why don't you decide to go ahead and make the right choice? By the way, by you being here today, you made a good choice, the right choice. But why don't we decide to say from this day forward, I will not major decisions, I will not make them in the midst of emotional wreck. I will wait till things are better to make the right choices because I want to make the best choice. Hey, when I make choices, I want to make sure it pleases God. I want to do what God wants. How about it today? You're going to make a choice. You will make a choice today. But what choice will you make? And I pray today that you will make the right choice. And you'll always make the right choice when you have the right book to look into and when you have the right man of God, the pastor, to go to. I promise you, if you listen to your preacher and you'll listen to the word of God and God speaking through his word, you'll always make the right choices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord,
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.